We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
First of all, let me say thank you for the concern. So many of you have looked at me and said, oh, no broken bones. Really appreciate that. Yeah, I feel like I can't ski, right? I mean, come on. We did have a great time, my oldest son and I. I did discover that I'm not 22. I cannot eat like I'm 22. there's a lot of things I can't do like I'm 22. But it was beautiful, and appreciate your prayers and your concern for him and myself. And of course, he's at a new base now. Anybody from Colorado? Anybody ever been? He is stationed in Fort Carson now, and looking like in the next few months he will be going to Korea for about 9 months. So he'll get acclimated there, and then they're going to move him out for a little while. So Nathan, our youngest, is in Chicago where it's 3 degrees. And he can stay there. he was talking with me earlier and was telling me how cold it was. And so open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. I wanted to do something a little different this evening. We've been in a series on Wednesday nights in Ephesians called Your Identity. Starting next week, we will be back in Ephesians. And I will be bringing a very select series of sermons about the family, about home, husband-wife relationships, parenting, how to survive that, what that looks like. I'll be doing something very out of the box. We will be right in the text, but that is where we are going to be. And then coming this Sunday, kind of wreaking havoc back there with Miss Becca Sanders, but coming this Sunday, I'll be kicking off a two-part series called The Blessed Life. I'm going to be in Psalm 1 for 2 weeks. We're going to kind of walk through the godly life and the ungodly life and what this looks like, and really excited about this. And then February 4th, we've got our annual report. I'm going to be presenting that, bringing some challenge to the church the following Sunday after this Blessed Life series. Newt Larson will be here. And then I'm going to be doing an extensive journey with you guys. I'm very excited about this. I'm going to be working through the book of Acts on Sunday morning. And we're going to kind of tackle this about the church. And I was telling my staff earlier today, the pastors anyway, so I think about doing the book of Acts. And Mike has said, well, we're going to be there forever. But I promise you, we'll get done sometime. We will, I promise. So I'm working diligently at getting ready to present that. So Galatians chapter 6, how many of you remember the story of Isaac Newton? Anybody know who he is? Okay. He came up with the law of what? Yeah, great. And legend says he was sitting under an apple tree, it fell on his head, and then he thought about the universal law of gravitation. It was a bad place for him to sit, right? Kind of made that discovery. I was reading about a father who had a very inquisitive son who asked his dad one day, why did God put walnuts on such big trees and watermelons on such a small vine? Suddenly, a nut fell from the tree and his question was answered, right? It's kind of what happens, you know. Tonight, I want to look at some laws. I want to look at predominantly one law of the Scripture. It is the law of the harvest. And as we are moving into this new year, and last year is finished, I want to talk a little bit tonight about this law that is in the Scripture. And despite what some teach, I just want you to know that there are actually absolutes. Did you guys know that? There are absolutes. You don't have to believe in gravity, but jump off a roof and tell me how that goes for you, okay? There are universal laws in place that are undeniable, and they are unchangeable. And in a minute, we're going to look at what I would call an absolute principle taught in God's Word. The principle is positive as much as it is negative, and it has huge implications in our life, and I'm praying that it will impact us this year as we go into this new year. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people will look at the Scriptures and they will say, well, I don't really believe that, or I don't like the Bible's too cut and dry, too black and white. And here's what C.S. Lewis said about absolutes, and here's what he had to say. He said, men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. And so tonight, I want to encourage you to embrace what the Scriptures have to say about this law. Now, some of you may be familiar with some of this, and some of you may know this passage of Scripture. Every law has its roots or its origin in God, with creation. Now, the different disciplines of science have some universal laws, and I don't want to go all scientific. I know you didn't come here tonight for a school lesson, but how many of you have ever heard of Newton's three laws of motion, for example? Okay, this is the basic of classic mechanics. So a body at rest stays at rest, body in motion stays in motion unless it's acted upon by an external force. Force equals mass times acceleration, F equals ma. I hate equations like that. Why did you stick letters with numbers? I don't like that. And then, of course, there is, to every action, there is a what? Equal and opposite reaction. Law of thermodynamics describes the specifics for the transport of heat and work. Kepler's three laws of planetary motion. Euler's laws of rigid body motion. How many of you ever heard of Murphy's Law? How many of you know what I mean by Murphy's Law? And it goes something like this. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Absolutely. By the way, here's a little quote. I thought this was great. I never had a slice of bread particularly large and wide that did not fall upon the floor, always on the buttered side, right? It's Murphy's Law. That's what's going to happen, you know? Now, in the spiritual realm, okay, God has universal laws as well. And one of those laws, and I'm just going to touch on one for time's sake, is reproduction. And the scripture says it's repeated actually 10 times in creation in the chapter 1 of Genesis, after its kind. And this operates as a law in the animal world, zoology as well, in the plant kingdom and botany. Now, when it comes to all of these laws, their roots, their origins, we can trace all of these back to scriptural laws, spiritual laws, things that are unchangeable. I'm talking about the law. I'm talking about biblical law, scriptural principles, things that are universal, biblical, doctrinal, theological laws that are not going to change. And Paul is teaching what is called an absolute principle. And some would say this is in the context of giving, but I think it has much deeper spiritual meaning. So if you're worried about this tonight being a message on giving, relax, okay? That was only for Sunday morning when everybody's here and I can get everybody mad, okay? So I'm not going to do that tonight. But he taught the same principle that I'm going to teach tonight. It's sort of overlapped, if you will, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, when he says this, "But this I say, he which soweth," what? "Sparingly is going to reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also," what? "Bountifully." So this is the principle. So now we're in Galatians, okay? We're in Galatians chapter 6, and I want you to let your eyes fall at verse 7. And he says this, now just real quick, I need to insert this. It's kind of rough to land on a context, okay? So let's get this in context. He's been teaching about law in Galatians, and he's talked about fruit of the Spirit. I mean, so we're here now, and he's kind of on the back end. So a lot of times we lift a verse like this out of context and say, oh, this is what this means. But this is in part and parcel to everything he's already been laying down, everything he's already been discussing, everything about the law and grace and how we're to live. And you could back up and begin to look at what he's laid down and the fruits and how we should be living our life. So he gets over to the end. He's giving some final words here, and he brings forth this amazing three little verse package here, if you will. And in verse 7, he says, "Be not deceived." You guys see that? Yep. Okay. Now, God is not mocked. I would love to just do a sermon right there. Okay. There's a lot off of that road we could go down. Okay. But for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, of course, the analogy here is a farmer. We understand that. For he that soweth to his flesh, here comes the spiritual application, shall of the flesh, okay, reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap, what? Life everlasting. Now, here comes the encouragement, all right? Now, sometimes Paul's encouragement's rough. Have you ever had a rough encourager in your life? Paul's a rough encourager, okay? Here's what he says. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." Now notice this little stipulation, this little caveat, if you will, "if we" what? "If we faint not." If we faint not. Now as we make our way into this new year, it would be good for us to understand the biblical principles of sowing and reaping, to understand this law of the harvest. So here we go. Number one, write this down. The harvest is limited to the planting. Okay? The harvest is limited to the planting. Now, there's several ways we can approach these laws I'm going to give, but I want us to kind of right away go back up to verse 7 And in the text, there's three principles to contemplate as we think about the planting aspect, okay? So the harvest is limited to the planting. Here's the first thing that we see in verse 7, and that's what I've just simply called a fair warning given, okay? And I asked if you guys saw it, and we all said what? Yes, because in verse 7 it says what? Be not deceived. This is the clear warning here, okay? God is not mocked. John Trapp, very, very old English writer, very old. He said this, they that would mock God mock themselves much more. They that would mock God mock themselves much more. God's word and this law could not be clearer. The thing is, okay, God's always fair. Do you believe that? You sure? He doesn't always feel fair, does he? But he is fair, isn't he? And here he's given this warning. He's saying, he's warning us, you can't blame God when things don't go the way you think they should after you've made some decisions and some choices that are contradictory to what he has laid down in his word. You don't have the right to do that. God's not mocked. You don't get to do that. I was referencing earlier that my son and I were skiing together. We had one full day, and we got a little turned around at the top of this mountain, and we ended up 12,000 plus feet up on this mountain, and we had a little discussion on the way up, and I said, I think we're right, and he said, Dad, I think we're wrong, and I said, well, we'll see who's right when we get to the top, and I was wrong, and we got to the top, and there was two signs, and I was looking for a certain sign that would have said something like beginner/intermediate. I did not see that sign. I saw the sign that said intermediate to advanced and advanced to expert. Right next to that, death. Michael looked at me, who is a very advanced, borderline expert snowboarder, and said to me, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I don't want to die today, if it's okay with you. And he said, well, there's no way down, and I'm not letting you ride the lift down. And I said, well, that was my plan. He goes, well, you need to make another plan. And I said, all right, well, you go first. I'll be right behind you. And here's the thing, right? If I choose to go down the expert slope as an intermediate, I cannot file a lawsuit against the company. I can't do that. I can't say, well, you didn't tell me. You didn't. There's big signs all over the place. This is not a place for you if you don't know how to ski as an expert. So if I go down that slope and I wipe out and I break some bones or I end up worse or I end up in heaven and God says, you idiot, what are you doing here? I have no right to get, I can't go to them and say, see, and this is what we do with God. We go against his laws and then we say, well, God, why did you do that? God says, you did that. You don't, this is fair warning. God is saying, listen, heed this warning. In this first statement, it's interesting, the phraseology here, be not deceived, God is not mocked, it's clear. Now, literally, this means if you were to break this down, and here was the connotation in Paul's day, and I think it will translate to our day, don't turn your nose up to God. Don't roll your eyes. How many of you know what I mean, okay? How many of you know nonverbals speak way louder sometimes than verbals, right? Okay, and I've seen it lots of times when I'm preaching, people, oh, you don't roll their eyes, you know, and okay, and sometimes this is what we're doing, and he says, hey, God's not mocked. Don't turn your nose up. Don't roll your eyes. Don't breathe a sigh or a snort. When people make choices that directly go against what God says, they're deceiving themselves. Look what the text says. Don't be what? Deceived. Don't fool yourself here. Don't kid yourself. As you enter into this new year, fair warning, okay? Fair warning. And then let me just give you this other one, forgotten truth. And this is why we have to put it into our memory. In this warning, the idea here, when he says, you know, be not deceived, hear the warning, the idea of willfully forgetting that which we've been taught. Now, all of us have had tendency to forget some things from time to time. Is that true? Okay. And some of you just forgot what I said, and that's okay, all right? But here's what it means. To forget something implies accidental action. You might want to write that down. To forget something implies an accidental action. But a failure to remember is what we would call willful neglect. It's when you say, or someone says to me, after 20 plus years of pastoring, someone will come into me and they'll say, here, I'm looking for some help or some counsel, and I'll sit down and I'll say, well, you know, the Bible says this. And here's what they'll say, and I always know right away I'm in for a rough ride when they go, yeah, I know that. Okay, well, why are you in here then? Okay. You see, and how many of us, we would just be honest, right? How many of us, we're like, well, I know what the Bible says, but I still want to do my own thing. Okay. Don't be deceived. Okay. Next year is not going to look any different than last year if you have willful neglect. If you continue to say, I'm going to do what I want. Don't ignore the truth. Don't deceive yourself. Listen, this is a universal biblical spiritual principle law. How many of you know the guy Oscar Wilde? You ever heard of him? He was the great English playwright who was so brilliant, so capable. He wound up, and this is obviously many, many years ago, but he wound up in prison as a homosexual in shame and disgrace. And here's what he penned. Here's what some of his last words. He says these words. I forgot somewhere along the line. Now, this is Oscar Wilde saying this. I forgot somewhere along the line that what you are in secret, you will someday cry aloud from the housetop. Think about that, dear friend. Do you know what Numbers 32 says? Be sure your sin will find you out. Okay? Be sure your sin will find you out. God always, though, here's the beauty, okay, here's the thing we love about the Lord. God always gives us an option, which is why I've called this last little thing to contemplate, freedom to choose. Now, this is sort of the longest section here. The rest of these are going to move quickly, and then at the end I've got some practical application. Freedom to choose. Free to choose, okay? Free to listen, free to obey, but remember, you get to choose, but you don't get to choose the consequences. You need to remember that. I need to remember that. You may choose. You may choose to live a life that's contradictory to God, but then you don't choose the consequences. By the way, God's not concocting some consequences up. He's not saying, well, wait till they mess up. I got a really good one for them. It's not how God works. Okay? Those things are already set in motion. Those things are already in motion. That's what's going to happen. This is what the scriptures are teaching us. Choose to sin. Say this with me. Ready? Choose to sin. Choose to suffer. You've heard me say this, haven't you? Okay, say it with me. Choose to sin, choose to suffer. Every choice to sin is always a choice to suffer. And God always gives us the choice. He gives us the freedom to make the choice. This is why the planting right now is so important, because you reap what you sow. You're going to harvest what you plant. So it happens. It's the first law. What has been planted is what will be harvested. That's why it's limited. It says the harvest is limited to the planting. Number two, the harvest comes later than the planting. Let that sink in for just a few minutes. The harvest comes later than the planting. Now, the hardest part about harvesting is that it takes time to see all the efforts of the planting pay off. Just for a second, let me chase this rabbit, lest it gets away. This is why parenting is so challenging. This is why some of you are so frustrated and irritated, and you're having this moment, and it's like, man, you know, when are they going to get it? Well, as one of our deacons, Mike McLeod, says, in their 30s. Okay, it's what happens. Okay, I thought for a few minutes I had a glimpse of hope with Michael, and then I'm like, nope, he's still there, right? Okay, and every parent knows this. You're looking at your child, and you're frustrated, and you're just. By the way, let me chase this rabbit. This is why marriage can be so difficult, right? Listen, you take one sinful person and another sinful person, you put them under the same roof. Let's get ready to rumble, right? Okay, there's gonna be sparks, and good marriages aren't just gonna happen because you think they should happen. Good marriages don't just happen because you're in church. Good marriages are a process. You have to do the planting. The harvesting will come later, but the hard work of the planting has to be done up front. It must be intentional, and it's so hard because we're like, when is it gonna happen? When is it gonna happen? When is it gonna happen? And here's what happens. Many will start out strong, but we stop way too early. We just quit. We give up. You've seen it. I've seen it. Maybe you've been there. You've walked away. You've left. You've pulled out. You've backed off. You said, I can't do it. I don't want to do it anymore. It's too much of a struggle. I'm tired of the planting. When am I going to see the harvest? This is the law, you see. The harvest comes later than the planting. And it's really hard, isn't it? Because we live in a day and an age of instant gratification. We want results when? You guys are yesterday. We want them now. We want them yesterday. Okay? Now, there's both positive and negative connotations here. First off, let's look at the negative. What is Paul meaning when he says in verse 8, the sowing of the flesh and reaping corruption? Well, I'm going to let someone smarter than I just give his thoughts on this, and then I'll give you a line to fill in. I want to quote from John Stott here when he says this. Every time we allow our mind to harbor a grudge, nurse a grievance, entertain an impure fancy, wallow in self-pity, we are sowing to the flesh. Every time we linger in bad company whose influences we know that we can't resist, every time we read pornographic literature, every time we take a risk that strains our self-control, we are sowing to the flesh. So here's what you should write down. We forfeit the joy of eternal life when we choose to sow to the flesh. It's not that we lose our salvation, okay? That's not going to happen. But you will forfeit the joy that should be yours and God intends for you to have when you sow to the flesh. You see, grace intersects here. You always have God's grace, but when you sow to the flesh, you are not going to reap the joy that God intends for us to have in his Son, Jesus Christ, the joy of eternal life. How many of you understand that when you die, you don't get eternal life? You get eternal life the moment you get saved. Christ said, I came to give you abundant life, new life, eternal life, joyful life. These are the things we can be experiencing now. Yes, they will be at an apex in heaven. They will be at the highest pitch, if you will, in heaven. But right now, Jesus is saying, you can experience this. But when you sow to the flesh, when you live a life contradictory to the scriptures, and you're going against the things of God, and you're sowing to the flesh, look what the Bible says. You reap what? Corruption, or as one author said, I looked up this week, he called it the corrupted Christian life. You're not experiencing the joy of Christ. You're still sowing to the flesh. The life God intends for us to have in Christ is corrupted when we make those sinful choices. Here's the thing. We rob ourselves, and by the way, and others, of the joy and the beauty that is to be ours by the fleshly choices that we make. We hinder ourselves. Now, the thing is, the reaping doesn't happen immediately. Several years ago, I'm just going to make a confession, okay? Several years ago, I got my second only ever speeding ticket. First speeding ticket I got, I was overseas in a foreign country, and we were here stateside, and I was flying down the interstate, and I looked in the mirror, and there was a police officer with his lights going. I have no idea how long he had been there. I don't. I have absolutely, he didn't turn his horn on or anything. He was right there. And I pulled over, and how many of you know that there's just some state troopers, they're just not in a good mood? He was not in a good mood. And he came up to me, and I tried to be really friendly. And by the way, don't ever pull the I'm the Christian card, okay? That's the worst thing you could ever do, right? You've totally blown your testimony already because you just broke the law, all right? And I remember I said this little phrase to him. I said, "Well, sir, I've never had a speeding ticket before. You can tell on the and I was trying to explain to him I've never had a speeding ticket, and he looked at me, and I'll never forget it. He said these words to me. He said, "Yeah, you've just never been caught." Is that right? Okay. Now here's the thing, okay? When we sin, listen carefully. Listen, this is so important. When we don't have an immediate reaction by God, we think, didn't get caught. Okay. It's like a thief. He starts with a pen. He starts with a notepad. He takes a computer. He takes some files. He takes some money. You see? Now, you say, well, how's that tie in? I knew you'd ask that. Listen to Ecclesiastes. Listen carefully. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to what? I got away with it? Huh, let me do it what? Again and again. I guess this is great. I guess I'm never going to get caught. No, no, no. No, sir. No, ma'am. There is a day of reckoning coming. You don't sin and get away with it. Now, it may feel like that. You may feel like Asaph in Psalm 73 when he's like, why are the wicked prospering? I don't understand. But there is a day of reckoning coming. Listen what he says. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, he says, it doesn't matter. I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. See, Asaph said, I know their end. And you will not mock God. You will not get away with it. You will reap what you sow. That the harvest is going to take time. Yeah, you may, for a season of time, live a certain way. But then eventually, it's going to catch up to you. Okay? It will catch up to you. I was telling my sons, both of them, I was watching them eat. And they were looking at me, and they said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I hate you right now." And they just laughed. And I said, "Enjoy it now while you can, while time is on your side, because you're going to turn 40, and you won't get to eat like that." How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. I said, the harvest is coming, right? Now, the harvest takes longer to come than you think. And this is the problem for us, because we want to do right for 2 days and expect our life to turn around. How many of you know this is the truth? You eat a salad and you're like, okay, let me get on the scale. Be honest, you've done that, right? You're like, let me drink a Slim Fast. Nothing is fast about a Slim Fast, okay? It's not. Doesn't matter. You go to the gym, you're like, hey, I worked out. Let me have a Big Mac. No. This is not how it works. It doesn't work this way in any other area of life. My dear friends, it does not work this way in your spiritual life either. It doesn't work this way in your relational life. It doesn't work this way in your physical life. The harvest takes longer to come. And the negative is that you're like, man, it's never going to come. The positive is it is coming. The positive is there is joy. This is why Paul said when you reap to the Spirit, it's that life everlasting. It's experiencing the fullness of what God has intended for you to have. And the difficulty is this age we live in. How many of you have a cell phone? Okay, now let me do a quick test here. Be honest, all right? God knows if you're being honest. And we've just installed new equipment that will tell if you're lying, okay? How many of you have ever sent a text to somebody and they didn't respond in the manner in which you thought and you got irritated? How about an email, okay? Or you call someone, they don't answer their phone, and you're like, they never answer their phone, okay? This thing here, it has accelerated our impatience. It has accelerated our frustration in relationships with people. Texts are wonderful, but you can't read emotion in a text. You can't read a face. You can't read a heart. I think it's a great thing. I text all the time. I get it. I am a texter. I will admit that. But I'm also very mindful that when I'm texting, I have to see it in light of a text. I would much rather have a personal face-to-face conversation. I'd much rather talk on the phone. But we don't have time for that. So respond to my text. This is how we are, okay? And we've increased this, and we think this is how life should work. Have you noticed how frustratingly slow it is when you're wanting somebody to change? When you're wanting somebody to become something, and how phenomenally irritating it is when you're like, why are they still this way? Why are they still acting like this? Okay? Life doesn't work like the cell phone. The harvest takes time, and it takes longer than you think. The harvest time is coming, but it's not instant. Sunday, I'm going to talk about the tree that's planted by the river of water, that there's a season. There's a season of productivity, and there's a season of non-productivity. Sometimes there's a dry season. A tree's not always in bloom, church. And sometimes the harvest, are you listening? Please listen. It's barren. I looked out a window for years in England over a field, and I would watch for years on end how the harvest would come, and it would be so beautiful. It would be ripe unto harvest. They would take it down, but then there would be months where there was nothing in the field. There would be nothing, okay? So let's get to this third law, and this is the challenging aspect, these next two. The harvest is greater than the planting, okay? The harvest is greater than the planting. Now, this is why we have to understand the first two laws, because you will not only reap, but you will reap more than you planted. Now, this should be a moment of like, yay, and also, oh, at the same time, right? Because you reap more than what you planted. Keep in mind, Paul is talking about the flesh and the spirit back in chapter 5, and the reality is when you sow to the flesh, there's corruption. When you sow to the spirit, there's life. Now, let's think about that. He's very clear. Let's make the quick analogy. If you plant tomatoes, what do you get? Okay. I could go on and on here, but the point is simple. You get what you plant. planted. And you get it back to a greater degree than you think. So let's talk about your corn. One kernel goes in the ground. You get an ear of corn with about 242 kernels on the ear. Isn't that amazing? Okay, take a wheat stalk. Take a little grain of wheat, put that in, you get a wheat stalk. Hundreds, maybe thousands out of one. So this one bumps up. So let me just give you this fourth one because I need to kind of smash these together for time's sake. Clock's against me. The harvest is proportional to the planting. So you're gonna reap greater than you planted, which is good news and bad news in some respects, okay? But if we're smart, and we're going to get there in a minute, if we're spiritual, we'll understand the implication here, how to do this. But the harvest is proportional to the planting. Now, these two are very linked. Both deal with quantity and amount. But here's the difference, okay? Look at the third law. Third law says the harvest is greater than the planting, okay? The results, the multiplication, based on who? God. God does the multiplication. Okay, how many of you know you can't make something grow? You can put it in the ground, but after a while, who's it up to? It's up to God, okay? What is this? The harvest is proportional. In this law, this fourth law, the responsibility is on us, our willingness to actually trust God and do the planting and let God bring in the results. Here's the thing. You cannot define your life by the successes of others or what you think is successful. God's looking at faithfulness. God's looking at what you're willing to do, your obedience. See, it's easy to think, well, this would equal success. This would define success for me, and if I could just do these things, and because I'm not getting these things, therefore I must not be successful, therefore I'm a failure, and I'm going to quit. I'm going to get weary in well-doing, and I'm going to give up. How many of you as a parent have felt that with your kids? You're like, man, this is so frustrating. Why do we have these kids anyway? Right, George Bailey, right? You hit that moment sometimes, and you think, I don't want to do this anymore. Sometimes in your marriage, you're like, I'm so tired of this. It's just exhausting, and okay, but hang on, okay? Proportionate, the planting. God will multiply what we're willing to plant. Here's the key. I want you to write this down. Here's how this will look for us, and this would be the challenge on this point. Invest your life generously into the things of God, okay? Trust him for the results. Invest your life generously. Your finances, your life, your heart, everything you have, everything you've been given, invest it into the things of God and be generous about it. So if a farmer's out and he's scattering his seed, who's going to get more, the guy who's dropping it like this or the guy who's just lavishly throwing it out? The guy who's just lavishly throwing it out. And this is how we need to understand this, because if we don't, we're going to be hoarders. We're going to think, well, I got to pull back, I got to hold back, I got to keep some aside, and I got to, no. Invest your life generously into the things of God. Now, let me give you this fifth one, and this will turn the corner here, okay? The harvest of last year cannot be altered, but the harvest of this year can be changed. Now, every year, as I mentioned to you, looking out my office window in England, my office and my dad's office right next door, we both had a beautiful view. His was bigger, you had a bigger window. But there were many days where we would just look out the window and talk or pray or discuss things, and we would look out at the field, and we would see this process, this change. And some crops were better than others. Some harvests were better than others. Now, here's where it's hard. Here's some tough application. Okay, here's what I call Paul's rough encouragement. Okay, so he says, don't be deceived. Okay, hear the warning. God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, this is what he's going to reap. This is the principle. He's then applied it to the spiritual life, the flesh reaping corruption, the spirit reaping life everlasting, the joy of Christ experiencing what God has for you in your life. And then he says in verse 9, let's not be weary in well-doing. Now, I want you to see this phrase carefully. For in, what's the next two words? Due season. Do you see that? There is a time coming. There's a season coming where you will receive the harvest. How many of you are grandparents in here? Isn't it great? Yeah, it's wonderful because now you're like, I had my kids, but I got their grandkids. Due season. Amen? This is due season for you, all right? Now, It's hard for me to explain this because it's painful and yet it's practical, and that is this: you reap today what you sowed yesterday. Understand? You reap today what you sowed yesterday. Now, here's where it gets tough, church. We can be living for God right now. Right now, you're living for God, but the choices of yesterday keep rearing their ugly head. And you're now trying to work through that bad harvest that was planted years ago. It's now kind of coming back. And you're working through negative habit patterns. You're working through a selfish mentality. You're working through a critical attitude. You're working through a bad mouth. You're working through a dirty mind. You're working through that, and you're trying to serve the Lord. And you're like, why is this so hard? Law of the harvest. Law of the harvest. You can't change what you're reaping today, dear friend. You can't. God does not eliminate a tough harvest, but he will help you change your future harvest by empowering you to sow seeds of the Spirit today. The old proverb says, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. You know the second best time? Today. Today. Let me illustrate this with you. This was a good day in my life when a professor walked several of us through this. It was an epiphany. I've shared this with Ramphus, just in some time he and I sharing, and it was such a help for me, because I know this for all of us in here. We go through seasons of our life where we think this is such a difficult harvest. So just visually, okay, visually, you have a picture of a farmer, and he is sowing seed. You guys with me? Okay, and behind him, this crop is now growing. You got it? He's planted the seed. At some point, he's got to do something. What does he have to do? He's got to turn around, and what does he have to do? He's going to have to reap, harvest what he's what? Exactly, what he planted, okay? So he's doing this. But what is he doing as he goes? He's still sowing. Because as he gets to this tough part, this season of his life that's hard, make sure when it's hard, you're not continuing to plant bad seed. Because here's what happens. When you get here, at some point you have to turn around, and guess what you got to do again? You got to harvest everything you just what? Planted. You with me? So when you're over here and the harvest is hard because of some decisions you made over there and you're going through, remember, you're also planting. And you want to be thinking in 2019 and 2018 and 2020, when I'm going to be having some harvests, I want to continue to plant behind me. Even though this harvest is hard, I want to keep planting some good seed behind me, because eventually I got a U-turn and I got to go back, and what am I going to want? A good crop. Are you with me? Okay. So when it's hard, when it's difficult, when it's irritating, when it's frustrating, when you want to throw the towel in, when you're like, I don't understand, just remember, you're coming back. This is your field. This is your life. And you will reap that harvest. So, let me give some very practical things here as we wrap this up. Number one, plant with purpose. Plant with purpose. Sow your seeds with a view to the future. Think and pray where you want to be in your relationships, spiritually, financially. Then go plant. Go plant. Friends, church, Christian, brothers and sisters, you and I will not change on accident. You change through intentionality. You change with purpose. And this is why I'm telling you, plant with purpose. Don't be deceived. So how did I end up right back here? Because you're continuing to do the same thing. You ever heard this phrase, you do what you've always done, you get what you've always got. Okay? Number two, be persistent. Be persistent. And this is hard, especially when the harvest is hard and you think, oh, this is a difficult time. It's a difficult season. I'm really fighting through this right now. Let me give you one of my favorite quotes. I don't know who said it. I'd like to take credit. I can't. Don't sacrifice the future on the altar of the present. Don't do it. It's tough. You want to. You want to. You want to say, well, I don't know what the future's going to hold, so I'm just going to gratify myself right now. Wow, don't. Don't give in to that temptation. Think about the future. you're going to hurt yourself. Do you know when God tells you no, he's not saying I don't want you to have any fun. What he's saying is I don't want you to hurt yourself. I don't want you to damage your life. I don't want you to reap a bad harvest. Be persistent. Don't sacrifice the future on the altar of the present. Every person I've ever talked to who has made a sinful choice, who have come to me for counseling, they will always tell me this. Never have they ever said this. They will always say these words to me. It was not worth it. No one's ever said, yeah, I sinned. It was so worth it. I know I completely jacked my whole life up, but man, I had a great time. Never. They will never. Never. I've got files. Never. They all will say to me, it was the stupidest. If I could go back, I can't believe. Don't do it, okay? Be persistent. Number three, stay patient. This is so hard, isn't it? Everybody say amen. Come on. Yeah, it's so hard, so hard. Stay patient, all right? Don't get weary. Here's what it means. Look at the text real quick. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, okay, we're gonna reap if we what? Faint not. You know what that means? To quit, to pass out, to give up, to walk away, to throw in the towel, to say, I've had enough. How many of you have ever been there? Yeah, we've all been there. You say, I haven't been there. Live a little. You'll get there. You'll feel it. I was talking with Nathan, and we were having a conversation in this vein, and we were talking about the dangers of ministry and when you're pursuing Christ. And I'd been doing some study, and there was a phrase, a line that jumped out at me, and I texted it to him. And here was the text I sent to him. I won't read you what I said personally, but then I'll just read you this quote. Discouragement is the enemy of our sanctification. Discouragement is the enemy of our sanctification. And you're going to get discouraged this year. And it's going to be hard. And you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to walk away. You're going to want to snap. You're going to want to bite someone's head off. You're going to want to give someone, and you're going to want to, don't. Just be patient. Don't get weary in well-doing. Okay? You say, why? Because here's the good part. Ready? Because you can rest in the promise. What does he say? Look, it's right there. It's a beautiful promise. Don't miss it. We shall reap. It's going to be a good day, isn't it? It's going to be a good year. Because you can look at that and say, you know what? I'm planting now. I'm preparing now. You see, the season of joyful reaping will come. God has promised it. Now, can I give you guys a little piece of encouragement as we close? Some of you are packing your stuff up. You shouldn't have done that. Gold Star people didn't do that. I want to give you this little piece of encouragement. Not every result and reward will be received in this life. Don't hang your hope. Well, if I give God $100, I'll get $200. He's going to multiply it. That is bad theology. Okay? Don't do that. Okay? Now give the $100. It's God's will for you, okay? Not every result and reward will be received in this life. We're not going to be here forever. You have to live with this eternal perspective and just, listen, 1 Corinthians says this, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This is not your best life now. Okay? You can have a blessed life. I'm going to talk about that Sunday. Your best life is yet to come.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.